This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. People on the shoreline in Portsmouth, England, witnessed a battle at sea last night. It was part of a series of commemorations to mark an important naval victory, the 1805 Battle of Trafalgar. The British defeat of the French and Spanish navies is regarded as a turning point in modern European history. And yesterday, the British staged a politically correct reenactment, as NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports.
The organizers insisted the nighttime spectacle of tall ships, lights, and fireworks weren't part of a recreation of the actual Battle of Trafalgar, just a generic Napoleonic-era naval fight pitting Team Red against Team Blue. It just happened to be set in Portsmouth, the home of the Royal Navy, and the port from which Admiral Horatio Nelson set sail for Trafalgar. The Admiral's 75-year-old great-great-great-granddaughter, Anna Tribe, commented that the French and Spanish were mature enough to handle the facts. Political correctness would make fools of us, she added. But earlier in the day, the men and women aboard one of the British Navy's most modern ships had their minds on their mission.
I'm Commander Andrew Betton. I'm the commanding officer of HMS Westminster. The International Fleet Review is a very important diplomatic moment where mariners from all around the world gather together to celebrate a major event in maritime history. The fact that some nations were on the winning side, some on the losing side, is not a point that we're thinking about today. This is a day of harmony, and we have 165 vessels gathered to celebrate a great battle 200 years ago.
Commander Yeoman, executive signal for ships to form column.
Seated on the ship's bridge, Betton and a dozen other officers steer their frigate to join a convoy of ships. The convoy cruises past a line of vessels anchored off Portsmouth, including the French aircraft carrier Charles de Gaulle, the USS Saipan, and warships from South Korea and Nigeria.
Stand by to give three cheers for Her Majesty the Queen.
Finally, the convoy passes the Arctic icebreaker HMS Endurance, where Queen Elizabeth II waves from her reviewing stand. Traditions live on, even in the ship's high-tech operations room. Lieutenant Chris Benar explains that for all his ship's state-of-the-art sonar, helicopter, and missiles, the basics of naval warfare are largely the same as they were on Nelson's flagship HMS Victory, still anchored in Portsmouth Harbor. Walking the Victory's gun decks, he says, he could envision what battles in Nelson's era were like.
You can get a feel for the way they'd have to direct their team whilst liaising with the other gunnery teams, whilst liaising with the upper deck, being told when the ship's about to come about, when we're about to sort of wear the broadside from the baddies, and when we're about to get our own guns away. And that's exactly what happens down here now.
In a daring move called crossing the T, Nelson cut across the French and Spanish line of ships off the Cape of Trafalgar in Spain. Nelson managed to destroy or capture 18 out of 33 enemy ships without losing one of his own. His victory thwarted Napoleon's plans to invade Britain, but Nelson himself was killed by a French sniper. The Trafalgar festivities will include an exhibit at the National Gallery, a recreation of Nelson's funeral on the Thames, and culminate with the actual anniversary, which falls on October 21st this year. The commemoration is part of a larger event called Sea Britain, intended to remind the UK of its maritime traditions and a bygone era when Britannia ruled the waves. As Harrier jets flew over the Westminster, Sea Cadet Will Buttery said what Nelson and Trafalgar made him think of.
How we used to be our empire and our British pride, and how we're proud of our Navy.
Plenty of media pundits have used the festivities to point out parallels with today's Anglo-French rivalry, from Tony Blair and Jacques Chirac's clashing visions of the European Union to the contest between Paris and London to host the 2012 Olympics. But as Britain and France are no longer empires, a lot less of the world's fate hangs on their rivalry than two centuries ago. So the rest of the world can just sit back and enjoy Britain's naval gazing. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Portsmouth.